Canes, a Canes fan tradition since 1959, presents All Canes Radio, hosted by Brian the Beast London.
What he said, dominate, and we not doing it. Let's go, man.
All Canes Radio is brought to you by All Canes, the number one Canes apparel shop located at 5831 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in Coral Gables, just a stone's throw from the U. Call them at 800-226-4247. Download their iPhone app or go to allcanes.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at All Canes Radio. Now, let's take you inside the most colorful college football program of all time. Here's Brian, the Beast London. All Canes Radio is on now.
What's up, everybody? All Canes Radio on the air on a Thursday night, live from Shake Shack, 1450 South Dixie Highway, right here in the Gables, right across from the U. Harry, it's a big night tonight.
It is so big. There's people lined up over here. It's so big right now. It's pretty good.
No doubt about it. Well, you know, we've had some special guests in the house here at All Canes Radio recently. We've had a stable of running backs. We had Najee Davenport. We've had Quatrin Hill. But the man who's, I would describe as probably the humble and quiet mouth. And
that's what I was telling him a minute ago. I said, I heard him earlier today, and I said he was very quiet and reserved.
Yeah, so very reserved.
Not be quiet tonight. Just let it all out.
Very contrite. Clinton Portis is in the house, and a line of people have shown up to say hi to Clinton, and Clinton's always been generous with his time and one of the best guys I know coming out of the U. And Clinton obviously is doing a new radio gig over on my old stomping ground on QAM, but we're lucky enough to shag him tonight for a little bit, reminisce a little bit, talk about his life in football, and we'll do that. But Harry, first of all, home game, the first home game of the season is coming up Saturday noon, Bethune-Cookman, and now's your last opportunity to jump into the store at All Canes and grab some gear. It's tailgating time, baby.
Well, we're basically ready for it. We're open early tomorrow at 9 o'clock till 7. Saturday, we're open at 9 o'clock to 6, and we've got everything you need for tailgating, for decorating the car, or decorating yourself. So we'd love for everybody to come by. We'd hope to have a great crowd. We know the 12 o'clock start's not ideal, but it's our team, and we need to go out and show them that we care, and we're going to support them win, lose, or draw, and nothing like a home game in Miami.
Give me the number one item so far, the newest item, the number one item, the hottest thing so far this season.
Duke jerseys. And his mom are in the store today.
Not the blue and white Duke, like our
Duke. No, we're talking the Duke.
Oh, okay.
Duke, our Duke now.
Duke.
We'll probably hear that a lot tomorrow. In fact, his mom was hoping for three, and then he said, maybe I should be greedy. I said, well, Mom, you go for two, and I'll go for one touchdown. So we're looking for three touchdowns from the Duke.
Well, why not? We'll get Clinton's thoughts on Duke Johnson, and I think Duke might be the most dynamic back Miami has had since Clinton was in the house, so we'll get his thoughts on that. Harry, also, there's the get down in Chi-Town party. We're having a big party before the Notre Dame game up in Chicago, Roots Pizzeria, and all the information's on allcanes.com, but that thing's filling up fast.
We're a little over 200. We're going to try to cap it at 300, so if you haven't got your reservation and it's time to do that. You know, the other big event is on September 26th. Talking about great players, we've got Warren Sapp coming to a book signing at the store from 6 to 8 o'clock. So we're bringing out the best for the best.
And all the information's right there at allcanes.com. Also, speaking of allcanes.com, you know about the blog at allcanes.com. All Canes blog, and Chris does a great job with that. And he's got a great article up there now talking about the defensive woes of the Miami Hurricanes. And he goes through a great explanation and a great kind of anecdote about Miami's defensive woes. You got to check out Chris's blog at allcanesblog.com. And Harry, before we take a break and get Clinton on the air, you know, kind of a sad week for the UM family, for the Canes fam. One of the nicest guys I've ever met, affiliated with the U, Joel Horn, who was a longtime security guy for the football team, was an usher at baseball games, has been around the U for 40, 50 years, knows all the former players, was always kind to me and my family, and whenever he saw my son, said hello, and my wife. And Joel Horn passed away this week after just a horrific accident, and he will be missed, Harry, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I just came from his viewing, and he has a service tomorrow morning. But I told his son, and He's probably the best, nicest guy that I ever met at the University of Miami. No matter what, he always had a smile on his face. He always was there to help. So he will be greatly missed. A true friend, a true Cane, and I'm tipping my glass to Joel tonight.
Yeah, I think we all are. Just a great member of the University of Miami Hurricane family. We've got Platon from Pro Canes in the house. Chris Freet from the University of Miami, the Associate Athletic Director for Communications and Marketing, will be over later. He'll give us an update on the women's soccer team who is playing tonight over at the Cobb Soccer Field. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, the man that rushed for, I think, what, over 1,200 yards his junior season and helped Miami win a championship in 2001, Clinton Portis, will join us. That and more coming your way after this. You are listening to All Canes Radio.
We don't care about nobody except is you. We don't.
You're listening to All Canes Radio.
You're a Canes fan, and you want the best gear. Well, you know there's only one place to go, and that's All Canes. All Canes, just a stone's throw from the U on Ponce, has been outfitting Canes fans for over a half a century. Want the latest and best Canes t-shirts? All Canes has them. Want the official coaches polo and sideline gear? All Canes has it. They've got dozens of hats, the latest Nike gear, customized jerseys, shirts, shorts, sexy tops for the girls, and the cutest kids' gear you've ever seen. Get the whole family dressed for victory at All Canes. All Canes is located at 5831 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in the Gables. You can call them at 305-661-9011 or 800-226-4247. Look them up online at allcanes.com or like them on Facebook. All Canes, the only place I go to get my Canes gear. It's the only place you should go to, All Canes. Tell them the beast sent you by.
Hey parents, finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Now, back to All Canes Radio. Tweet us at All Canes Radio and interact with us on Facebook. Now, here's your host, Brian the Beast London.
Back here at All Canes Radio, live from Shake Shack in the Gables, 1450 South Dixie Highway in the Gables. Best burger in town, best hot dog in town. The custards are great, the shakes are great, everything is great here. You can even bring your dog here. They got bowls of water outside. It's the place to come here in the Gables. There's been so many spots here in this location. This one's the one that's going to last. Shake Shack's going to be here. Up in New York, they wait 3 hours in line for a burger at Shake Shack. But not here. This is a big one. This is the monster Shake Shack here in the Gables, and we're happy to be here every Thursday night hosting All Canes Radio. Platon is in the house. What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Good, man. Well, we've been trying for a while And he's one of our favorites on the show, but we've got one of the best pro canes ever in the house in Clinton Portis. And
I'm vouching for the Hall of Fame for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Not just the Hurricane Hall of Fame. I'm talking the real deal.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get into the Hurricane Hall of Fame. Hey, I sat underneath Santana when they retired his jersey, when they brought him back, and I'm figuring, well, it's going to be 10 years next year. They still ain't calling me.
They'll be calling you, man. They'll be calling
you. I'm waiting.
Clinton Portis, you're a radio guy now. You're trying to take our jobs. Is that what it is?
I'm just trying to join you guys. I don't want to take your jobs. There's enough jobs to go around.
Yeah.
I just want to join you guys and shoot the breeze with you.
So let's start by this. Why are you here in Miami and not in some NFL camp toting the rock?
I was just tired, man. You know, and I feel like I did everything that I could on the field. And I got to a spot or a space in life where I was just comfortable. And I really didn't owe the NFL anything. It didn't owe me anything. I know a lot of people feel like I should have got those 70 yards to get to 10,000, but, you know, it wasn't even that big of a deal to me. I feel like I left it all on the field, and now I got the opportunity to come back to South Florida and enjoy the kids, enjoy the weather, and hang out with you guys.
A lot of guys struggle with that decision, but you sound like you're at ease with it. Why is that? How come your decision was maybe easier than other guys?
Well, I think every Sunday I went out and gave you everything I had. So when I reevaluated myself to look back and say, oh, is it something missing? There's nothing missing to me. And I don't feel like, oh, I should have done or I could have done. I did it. And that's what helps me with that transition. I know I did it. Can't nobody ever take that away from you. You only got to go and type in Clint Porters and let it play. You know, you don't have to fast forward, rewind, stop. Just let it play.
So this Sunday, Clinton, it wasn't tough watching those games and your fellow or former teammates out on the field competing still. It wasn't tough to get over because this is when it finally hits you, you know.
It's not, man. You know, for me, I think watching the games, I sit and wonder how they do that. Like, I really think that is a tough sport to take those tackles, to go out and get hit. The way that they get hit, like, I cringe up all the time. Like, I can't believe that I did it. Like, I promise you, I fear football all of a sudden. And it's crazy to say, well, somebody who enjoyed contact would fear, but I don't see it possible for me to go out and get hit right now today. At 31, it's just not possible. I can't take it.
They say that, you know, running back is the position where you take the most punishment. It's probably the position, I don't know this for a fact, I think it's true, where you have the shortest shelf span in the NFL. Guys that play running back tend to drift out of the league faster than other positions. You did it for a while. How's your body feel now? I mean, are you able to get out of bed in the morning and with a smile without, you know, without hurting, creaking, and all that stuff?
That's what else allowed me to be happy about my decision. I walk away and I can do everything. I can still go play basketball. I can hang with the kids. Like, I can chase the kids. I can still run. I feel
good. And you got 4-year-olds, so there's a lot of chasing.
I'm still active. I can do everything. I kind of feel like I got better in some of the things. But I really do feel great, man. You know, I think it's just a great space to be in when you can walk away from the game and be comfortable with it and, you know, still have something to show for it and still be able to continue the same life that you were living. You know, my life don't change all of a sudden that I'm done with the NFL. I actually think I'm busier now because I don't know what to do with my time. I want to come hang with you. I want to go hang out somewhere else. I want to go do something. Then it's the stuff that I have to do. So I'm just having fun right now, man.
You retired a Redskin. I guess talk about that day. You know, I watched your press conference. You did get emotional. It was, you know, you spent a lot of years there. Probably the best years of your career were there. You know, you were able to play with a Santana Moss, with Sean Taylor. You had a great owner in Dan Snyder. I guess reflect on those years, that time, and what it means to you to be a Redskin.
I mean, that was the great thing about it, having the opportunity to play, like you said, with the Sean Taylor, the Santana Moss, the Rocky McIntosh, guys who went to the University of Miami along with me. Having that influence to be able to have those guys as teammates and some of the other guys that trickled through. And it's so much meaning into that organization. You know, you think of the U and everybody, oh, the U. The Washington Redskins organization is a wonderful organization. It's the fan base is unreal. The pressure that's placed upon the people that they depend on within that organization is even fun. So for myself to say I was a part of that organization, like I think everywhere that I came from, having an opportunity to come from the University of Miami, to play with the Denver Broncos and the Washington Redskins, all of a sudden, like, I feel like I played within the best organizations or at the best periods that you could possibly play in. You know, I played under a Shanahan who coached the great John Elway in Denver. I played with Rod Smith and Shannon Sharp and Al Wilson. And the list just goes on of the people that I had the opportunity to play with and the people that I had the opportunity to meet. So it was just a great experience.
You had, you know, I read that you're a Redskin. They're getting ready for the draft. And they're thinking about Kellen Winslow. Sean Taylor's also out there. You tell the organization, draft Sean Taylor. Take us through what happened there.
I think Kellen Winslow a great player. You know, I really do. But I told my exact words to them was, you only get one chance to get Sean Taylor. That's it. You only get one chance. And that chance turned out to be, I mean, you see the impact that Sean Taylor had on the NFL. And just to have that opportunity and have that influence, because Kellen was the pick, hands down, they were taking Kellen Winslow. And they ended up taking Sean Taylor. And later in the draft, they got Chris Cooley, who ended up being one of my favorite teammates. So I think Kellen's career worked out. And but for me, Sean Taylor was a no-brainer. And, you know, I really let the organization know that. And he came and was a great player that he was for that organization, and will forever be linked to it.
I you know, obviously you're comfortable with your decision to retire now, but obviously there was a point in time over the years when maybe you were injured or you weren't playing. Was that tough for you to know that, you know, you were still able to do it mentally, but physically your body just wasn't able to handle it at times?
Well, you know, I think for myself, the last 2 years I ended up getting hurt. I had a concussion, and then I tore my groin. And going through the rehab, just the recovery process, when you get older, going through that recovery process is so dynamic, like so intense. You get to the point, like, do I really want to do this? And I think finally, after all the intense recovering and rehab and getting back on the field, it was like, as soon as I got to the point where I was healthy, it was like, now do I really want to be in a position that I could be injured again or bang myself up? Like, I'm healthy and I'm cool with walking away from the game. And I think once I proved to myself that I was healthy, I was totally cool with that decision.
You spent years in Denver, you spent years in Washington, you retire as a Redskin. Talk about the different dynamics between those two organizations, two of the most historic and traditional organizations in the NFL. You didn't have to spend years in Seattle or somewhere where, you know, maybe you weren't going to be loved by the fans or the hometown crowd.
Well, for me, I think it just worked out. You know, you sit back and you think about draft day and going in the second round and how angry I was at that opportunity to go in the second round. And you know, I should have just been proud to be going into the NFL. But I had a chip on my shoulder and went to the Denver Broncos, where I had the opportunity to learn amongst great guys. Like I said, the Eddie McCaffreys, Rod Smith, Shannon Sharp, Al Wilson, Brian Greasy, and the list go on. Because those guys taught me how to be a professional. And then for myself, getting traded to the Washington Redskins, where all of a sudden I had to grow from a boy to a man and take on the pressure of being the face of an organization, it just make you grow up and make you appreciate everything.
Was there ever a point, and I don't believe there probably was because I know your personality, but was there ever a point when you regretted leaving early? When you found out you were a second-round pick, was there ever a point where you said, man, I should have stayed another year, I could have been number one pick in the draft?
Heck no. I never. You know, I think when I went to the combine, I remember telling all the GMs, like, you know, they were asked, like, where do you feel you should go? And I told them I should be the number three pick in the draft. And I understood David Carr, I understand Julius Peppers. But at number three, you need to trade with the Detroit Lions because I'm going to be rookie of the year. And everybody laughed at me. Really, just how you laughing now. Everybody laughed at me like, seriously, where you think you should get drafted? And with no smile on my face, no budge, seriously, I feel like I should be the third pick. So trade up, you know, and it didn't happen. But like I told them, I was going to win rookie of the year. All the guys that went in front of me combined, I outplayed them. So I feel great about my decision.
You know why I'm laughing? Because I was actually going to tell the story later, because we're going to start reminiscing about your time at the U, but this fits in with the story I'm about to tell. One of the first times that we got to talk to you, when you were a freshman. And I don't know if it was before your first start or after your first start or what have you. You sat in this little room over there at the U in the sports information office, and we're used to dealing with James Jackson, who's as humble as can be and nicest guy in the world, and you know, and all of a sudden here comes this freshman Clinton Portis into the room, and you just loved it. You ate it up. We ate it up, and we loved it, and we loved dealing with you. And I don't remember if it was Susan or George or me or somebody asked a question. Well, Clinton, how many yards do you think you could run for? And I doubt you remember this, but you literally go, "What's the rushing record?"
It was Susan. I do remember that. Yeah. I remember that conversation. So for myself, it was just, like you said, James Jackson was a great mentor to me. Having James Jackson pushed me so much because James talked so much trash to me as if I'm talking about rookie. Right. Freshman, you know, that's how James, he didn't even call me CP, Clinton, or nothing. He just said, rook. And I used to be so aggravated. Like, me and James used to bet, like, okay, who going to have the most yards? And he say, rookie, you going to play when I let you get in. Or, freshman, you get in when I say you get in. And I said, just don't let me get in because I promise you, I'm going to have more yards than you. And that's how it panned out.
We're going to tell more stories in a moment. We're going to take a break here on All Canes Radio. Clinton Portis in the house here at Shake Shack, 1450 South Dixie Highway in the Gables. Platon, he got here via Quanstar Limo. And that's another pro-cane corporation. We have to give a big shout-out to our good buddy Dwayne Starks.
Right? Dwayne Starks! Let me borrow a limo all night, brother.
I think Dwayne would be more than happy to give it to you all night. Quanstar Limo, it's www.quanstarlimo.com. You can also call him at 305-815-4133. Clinton rolled up in a real nice black Suburban this evening, but they've got all sorts of limos.
And they got Gatorade off in there. They got cookies. They got everything. These Starks doing it big, man.
That's why Clinton wasn't hungry. But right. but Quanstar Limo again, everyone, 305-815-4133.
Yeah, rolling with Pro-Cane Dwayne Starks and his limo company. All right, Clinton Portis, we'll have plenty more with him after this when we're back at Shake Shack. You're listening to All Canes Radio. I'm the Beast. Platon for Pro-Canes. Clinton Portis back after this.
We don't care about nobody except this you. We don't.
You're listening to All Canes Radio.
You've been hearing all your friends from up north telling you about Shake Shack. It is the best burger place in the world. Maybe you tried the one down on Lincoln Road, and I got to let you know there's one open right now, right across from the U. Shake Shack Coral Gables is open, and it's where we're hosting All Canes Radio every Thursday night. You gotta stop by, Canes fan. You gotta try one of their 100% all-natural Angus beef burgers cooked to perfection, or their delicious flat-top hot dogs split and grilled crisp. Stop by the new Shake Shack in the Gables, get one of their awesome milkshakes and ice cold beer, and for dessert, man, you're gonna love their U-Malt frozen custard concrete. Order it up, show your U pride. Get to the Shake Shack right across from the U. The address, 1450 South Dixie Highway, right on US 1, right across from the U, or visit them online right at shakeshack.com. Shake Shack. It may be the newest spot in town, but it's the best burger you'll ever have.
This entire piece of music is played with only two instruments, a right hand and a left hand. Hands can do incredible things. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life with hands-only CPR. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands-only CPR is recommended by the American Heart Association, and it's incredibly easy and effective. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. The power to help save a life is in your hands. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Wait, you see what there is to see at Miami's Aquarium. You'll
see sharks and dolphins, sea lions
and seals, learn about stingrays,
and all about eels.
What a fantastic, fabulous, fun place to be.
Wait, you see what
I'll get this terrible pain in my hands. Another day, my face is swollen. It's so frustrating. I've never felt so scared and alone. I want answers.
I want answers. My hair's falling out. You know how embarrassing that is? It feels like I'm going crazy. I need to know what's going on.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Now, back to All Kings Radio. Tweet us at All Kings Radio and interact with us on Facebook. Now, here's your host, Brian the Beast London.
Back here on All Kings Radio, live from Shake Shack, 1450 South Dixie Highway, in the Gables right across from the U, where they're playing soccer right now. We'll get an update on that in a little bit when Chris Freak comes on over in hour number two. Platon from ProCanes.com is in the house. Have to thank Dwayne Stark's company, Quanstar Limo, for bringing down our special guest tonight. Clinton Portis in the house, former Redskin, former Bronco, always a member of the Miami Hurricanes. And we gotta tell some stories now about Clinton and his journey, his quick three-year journey through Hurricane Nation, because it was quick. But in those 3 years, he definitely set his mark, made his mark on the University of Miami. And I can still remember you as a freshman, Clinton. And as confident as you were, there were the big story was, how did you get to Miami as a running back? You grew up in Gainesville. How the heck did those Gators let you get out of their backyard? And there's a reason for that. It's because they weren't looking at you as a running back, right?
Well, no one was. And I don't even think the University of Miami was looking at me as a running back. You know, they told me they were, but I think everybody was recruiting me as a DB. And Florida called and said, well, if we were to offer you as a DB, would you consider coming here? And I told them I wanted to play running back and no thanks. And that was the last time I talked to them. And the University of Miami, you know, they sent Coach Solinger, who I still think is probably my best position coach ever, the great Don Solinger. And I just never understood how this man come tell me, like, hey, if you want to come here, bro, come. If not, I'll go recruit somebody else. I thought that was the best recruiting tactic ever. Ever. Like, man, this how you talk to me? Like, you supposed to come in and, you know, butter me up. He didn't butter me up. He was clear uncut. If you want to come here, come. If not, I'll recruit somebody else, and good luck to you. And, you know, that's what told me I wanted to be a part of the University of Miami. I felt like everything was going to be loyal and upfront and honest. And, you know, coming here, it was the best decision I made.
So tell us about the situation in the running back position, the running back room, when you get on campus in 1999.
Man, when I came on campus, you know, you had first, before I came, you know, on my visit, and Edgerin was still here.
Right.
So when I committed to UM, I didn't even know EJ was going to the draft. They were practicing for the bowl game. And
right.
I remember asking Edge, like, he said, are you coming here? And I said, are you leaving? And he said, it shouldn't matter whether I leave or not. You should come here for the competition. And that always stuck with me. And coming here for the competition is exactly what I did. And, you know, I knew James Jackson was already slated. Najee Davenport was already proven. And myself and Jared Payton came in together, and we got a battle. So Jared was probably one of the most talented guys who just never got together in the NFL. But talent-wise, man, Jared probably had more talent than all of us, because soccer footwork, just vision, just everything that he was capable of doing. So coming here, it was really just to compete.
So you come in, and you're basically at the bottom of the depth chart. You're a freshman. And
I was fifth on the depth chart. They had D. Will in front of me. And he played. He came
fullback.
From. Yeah, they had no another guy. He ended up transferring.
Daryl Williams.
Daryl Williams, and he came from a seven-man flag football high school. So he was in front of me on the depth chart, and I just really felt like, man, either these people think I suck or I got to make my mark somehow. And I got that opportunity and never looked back.
So is that what motivated you? I mean, was it being starting out so low, knowing you had the talent, knowing people thought that you should be playing defensive back, not running back, and then seeing all this talent in front of you? How do you get on the field? I mean, well, and look, plus you're a freshman. Are you running your mouth?
Oh, I ran my mouth from day one. It was always the competition, just feeling like I was going to outwork and I deserve it, you know. Willing to live and die by my decision. You know, so many teams had promised me at DB and you would get on the field and, oh, yeah, we going to play you and this and that and you going to play as a freshman. But UM never made that promise to me, and I had to come here and work. And always knowing that I had to prove myself is what allowed me the edge to go out, because I never got patted on the back as in good job or okay. You know, if Najee wouldn't have went down against Ohio State, I really think I would have been moved over to DB by the third or fourth week. Instead, Najee went down. The fourth week we played East Carolina, and I had 100 yards at halftime. And after that, it was kind of hard to say, well, put him at DB. If anything, you had to let me play both ways. So, so therefore, you know, I mean, it was just taking advantage of every opportunity.
Najee gets hurt in that kickoff classic up in the Meadowlands against Ohio State, and everyone's gasping, what the heck's Miami going to do? You know, and all of a sudden, here comes Clinton Portis. Now, you talk about that East Carolina game. You had a good game in the first half. You also had some fumbles in that game, if I remember, but that was a loss. No.
I fumbled. VTech.
VTech, you fumbled three times, but the East Carolina game was a loss.
Yeah, East Carolina, Coach Davis took me out at halftime, put J.J. back in, who had a high ankle sprain.
Right.
You know, he came out and told you all that I was hurt, remember? That's what I got in trouble for. I started off in trouble because it was reported that I was hurt, and me not knowing that where that came from, I addressed it, and nothing was wrong with me, and it was the coach's decision that I didn't play. And I think I was in Coach Davis' doghouse for a long time, up until the draft, I know, right, at least, right, because he passed on me then.
Clint, there have been stories of you being in the doghouse. One story that Coach Solinger has told is against Georgia Tech in the Gator Bowl. You know, he's trying to get you in. He gets you in the game. You break that long run. And basically he turns to Butch and tells him, I told you so. I don't know if you knew that, but what was sort of the dynamic?
I just never knew how I was in the doghouse, because I had a 3.1 GPA at the time. I was in class, like, you know, my mom didn't send me down here like, oh, you just go have a good time. So I don't know how I was in the doghouse. I guess it's just, you know how you rub somebody the wrong way, or somebody just don't understand you or don't like you, whatnot, whatever it could be. I just think that was a situation with Coach Davis. I don't really think he cared much for me, or maybe it was like a showing him up, or, you know, when people all of a sudden question your decision and you of authority, like, why is JJ playing and not CP? And it's like, well, I want JJ in the game. So I think he had JJ, and JJ was a great player, and he was willing to die by that. And for myself, I was just trying to get on the field. I didn't know nothing that was going on behind closed doors. So everything for me was, let me tell the truth about the situation and be done with it.
Did it surprise you that Butch then passed on you and took William Green from BC and didn't draft you in the second round of that draft?
It did. You know, it really did surprise me. It kind of broke my heart, because I knew that if I didn't go at 3, the latest I would go would be 16 or 14, whichever pick he had. I knew that would be the latest that I went, because I knew Cleveland needed a running back. And when they called William Green, then I think that just started the buzz, like his own coach passed on him. And, you know, for myself, it was just like, wow, I couldn't believe it. But William Green and Clint Portis. Like,
I think we can leave it at that.
Right. So your freshman year, obviously, I think you scored like 10 touchdowns your freshman year between rushing and receiving. And you set a couple marks as a freshman, longest, you know, bowl run for Miami, 73 yards against Georgia Tech in that Gator Bowl. And then you come back your sophomore year. What's the dynamic then? Is it changing? Is there more respect for you or no?
You know, it still wasn't respect coming back my sophomore year. It was like it was going to be a situation, and then I end up breaking my breaking my foot. So it was really growing to be a situation. I think the first game we came out, I had a spectacular game, and the second game, well, I think up until Washington,
right,
I broke my foot after Washington game, and I think I had made my statement against Washington where I went and laid it all on the line, and then we come back, and it was just a bad feeling going into practice that day. And I kept telling Coach Solinger that something was wrong, and they made me practice, and I ended up breaking my foot, and I was out for 4 or 5 weeks and never really got into the groove my sophomore year into the Gator Bowl.
Go back to that that Washington game out there. That's the game where everyone, you know, looks back on and says, that's the game, because you guys lost that game, it motivated the entire team to go reel off 30-plus wins and never lose again until the Fiesta Bowl.
It totally did. I think that was the changing point in our career, because I remember when we got to Washington and how laid back everybody was and how excited everybody was about being in the top five again and feeling like we had finally arrived, and it was all of a sudden just flat. We were flat because we felt like Washington was going to be afraid and the U was back, and those guys came out and pounded us and gave it to us, and it took us to halftime to realize that we were in a fight. And I think just the determination for me alone, I think the determination for me, it was like I refuse to lose. And we came so close. If we would have had one more minute,
right,
I feel like we win that game. But who knows what happens after that. I think the best thing that happened was the loss, because after that point, we never looked back and we never took it for granted.
You beat the Gators at the end of that season. Was that extra motivation for you coming from Gainesville, them sort of passing up on you, saying they wanted you at as a DB? You have a good game there. You guys also beat them up on Bourbon Street. You know, what was that feeling, beating them and then going into the next season?
I think it was great because I had so many friends that went to the University of Florida. I had so many guys that were local or that I knew just from growing up in Gainesville, guys who I seen, guys who when I went home, I hung around, and all of a sudden we get to face them in the Sugar Bowl. And for us to come out with that win, it was just like we beat the University of Florida. The University of Florida was a team to contend with at that time. So to go out and beat the University of Florida, coming into my junior year, I just knew we was winning the national championship, because I really felt like we should have won my sophomore year.
Did you know going into your junior year that was going to be your last year? When did you realize, you know what, I'm gonna declare for the draft?
I didn't. You know, I think when I began to think about going into the NFL, I knew I had the possibility if the year went right and we won as a team. And I remember calling Edrin up and asking him, and he says, you know, it don't matter what you do in these first 6 or 7 games. It's really the last 5 games in the bowl game and how you guys finish. And that stuck with me. If you look at our last 5 games, because weather had delayed Washington, we ended up playing 5 teams in a row that was ranked in maybe the top 12. I think we played 5 consecutive teams that were ranked in the top 12 and blew all of them out except for Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, yeah.
Yeah, we blew everybody out except for Virginia Tech.
And Boston College was a tough one.
Well, it started in Boston College when Reed returned, and from that point on, it was just reeling off. I think we put up 66 on Syracuse,
yep,
and
yeah,
60 on Washington, and then we played V-Tech, and then Nebraska didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance.
Let's go back to the beginning of the 2001 season against Penn State up there. I mean, we all knew that you guys were good, but, you know, everyone is thinking to myself, well, it's on the road at Penn State. It's a huge stadium, 110,000 people. And I remember being there on the broadcast and thinking to myself, I've never heard 110,000 people this quiet. You guys, I mean, you came out, you rushed for 164 yards on 17 carries, and pretty much from the get-go. I mean, I remember thinking, you know what I knew is before the game, they were playing Phil Collins in the air tonight.
Yep, up
in
Happy, I can feel it. That's
up,
it.
Yeah, up in Happy Valley. And I remember saying during a commercial break of the broadcast, I go, yeah, that's our song. We're going to win.
Yeah. I mean, when we got up to Penn State, like you said, 110,000 people. I mean, 110,000 fans, that was the biggest crowd we had played in front of.
Right.
They never even got the cheer.
I think
that the loudest they got was when the team was announced coming out of the
right.
Out of the smoke. And after that, it was all University of Miami.
So did that set the tone for that season?
It
that
did.
Big win on the road?
It did, because my freshman year, we lost to Penn State
right
down here on the last second play where Rump slipped down, and we had that on our mind. Like, you know, they got away with one in Miami because our season could have turned around then. You know, if we win that game, I think it leaked over and we lost to Florida State. And, you know, I think we lost like three games in a row my freshman year after losing to Penn State. So it was just payback time.
When did you know the 2001 season was going to be the special season? I mean, you know, going into that offseason after beating Florida, was everyone focused, all right, we got slighted in the national championship, we should have been playing versus Oklahoma, and I think everybody knew that we probably would have beaten them. When did you guys realize, all right, this is going to be it, this is going to be that year?
I think the work ethic over that summer going into the national championship year, nobody left from down here. Everybody stayed here. Everybody was in summer school. Everybody was in the gym playing basketball. Every time you seen one guy from the University of Miami, it was at least three or four other guys with him. So all of a sudden, when you got that bond, I remember everybody doing intercession. We never left the University of Miami, never. And everything we did together. So that's when you knew we had what it took to be national champs. And Dorsey being the leader of that team, I don't think you could have had a better leader for that team than Dorsey, because Dorsey knew how to keep everybody happy. And that was the best thing about it, that everybody was happy and everybody was focused on winning. It didn't matter who got their attention, because you couldn't just say, well, Shockey had a good game, because Shockey had a good game, Dre had a good game, I had a good game, Frank Gore, Willis. It was so many people that you can look and say, well, every game was, who do we want to give this to? Because it's three or four guys who deserve it. So it was cool.
When I was sitting up here before, a couple, you know, 3 hours ago, when I'm getting ready, someone came in and was like, you're going to have Clinton Portis tonight. And I said, yeah. He's like, is it true? The young kid said, is it true that Frank Gore and Clinton Portis and Willis McGahee were on campus at the same time? And I go, yeah, it was true. That year, 2001, obviously, and all you guys are on campus, and you're all competitive, and Don Solinger's your coach. What was the dynamic of that meeting room when all you guys are there your junior year?
You know what the dynamic was? The fact that you're missing Jared Payton.
Yeah, that's right, Jared Payton.
You're missing
Najee. Yeah.
And you're missing Jason Gathers.
That's right.
Also true. In there.
That's right, yeah.
So you saying the competition between Jason Gathers, oh man, Jason Gathers was unreal.
Well, Platon, what did Donnie Solinger tell us?
Don Solinger said if he didn't keep switching positions back and forth, he would have the best running back ever.
They would have gave Jason Gathers the opportunity to play one position.
Right.
He just was so talented, like it went against him. He was so talented that they couldn't find the perfect fit for him, and he bounced around. But if you put Jason Gathers at running back, man, I really think it's hard for myself, Willis, and Frank to get on the field, because Jason was so talented. It was just they kept him moving around.
Was there ever butting heads? I mean, I know you guys were competitive on the practice field. Did you ever get personal?
You can be honest, Clinton.
I mean, I think it got personal with Willis.
Right.
I really do think it got personal with Willis, because Najee was playing fullback. So, you know, Najee really wasn't feeling that, but they threw Najee the ball all the time in the flats,
right,
just so he can be involved in the game. So that got Najee through, and Coach Solinger eased him alone and showed the versatility and how big he was and how fast he was, that you'll still get drafted,
right,
everything gonna be fine. So I think that's what eased Najee through. Me and Frank was like stuck together, because Frank wanted to soak up all the knowledge that he can possibly soak up. And anything that you tell Frank, he was working on.
Right.
He wants you to watch him. Like, check me out. You know, let me know. He going to come back for the critique. And that's what made him a great player. And he's still a great player because he's still coachable. But Willis felt like it was his time. And for myself, being the confident, cocky guy that I was, Willis couldn't understand that. And I talked to Willis and Frank the same way James and Najee talked to me. And all of a sudden, like, I think that rubbed Willis the wrong way. because me and Frank got along so good that Willis was just aggravated and agitated, and he wasn't playing at the time.
Have you guys ever, you know, discussed it, made up, hugged, shook hands, high-fived?
I mean, we're cool. You know, when we see each other, we speak. You know, we done hung out a couple times, but... I mean, you grown men. I don't know why you would still be beefing or upset about something that happened 10 years ago. It worked out for everybody. I think Willis having a great career in the NFL, Frank having a great career, I had a great career. I don't know why. You know, I wouldn't hold a grudge.
Did it surprise you to see Willis have the year he had, the year after you left in 2002, and then, you know, then blow his knee out in the Fiesta Bowl, but to still have a great career, be the starting quarter running back for the Broncos? You know, I guess you saw the talent he had. Has his career surprised you?
No, it hasn't surprised me. I knew Willis was talented the whole time he was at the University of Miami, so that's not surprising to me. I think Willis is a competitive guy. I think if you look at him, he's still going to block. He could be a three-down back, really, because he can block, he can catch, and he can run. You know, if you give Willis daylight to hit a hole and get through it, I think Willis still probably the best back in the league, along with Arian Foster. When it comes to having a crease and you not going to catch him, if Willis get one, two steps of being untouched, it's trouble.
He started at fullback in that Rose Bowl. You know, exactly. not a lot of people remember that. We're going to take one more break. We're going to come back with Clinton Portis. We're going to talk about why Donnie Solinger is one of the best coaches you ever had, if not the best coach you ever had. And we want to know what's in the future for Clinton Portis, because even though your football career is done, you're only 31, you're doing radio, but there's got to be big things in store for Clinton Portis, because Clinton Portis is not going to sit home and, you know, eat Cheetos all day. I might do that, but Clinton Portis is not going to do that. We'll be back after this. Shake Shack is where we're at, 1450 South Dixie Highway, with the man, Clinton Portis.
And how did we get here, Beast?
Well, Quadstar Limo drove Clinton down. Dwayne Stark's company, Quadstar Limo. QuadstarLimo.com is the website, and Quadstar Limo, owned by former Kane Dwayne Starks. And
305-815-4133. And Mike, who is Clinton's driver tonight, apparently got him the peanuts, the cookies, the Gatorade, and he was all hooked up.
That came in the limo. D. Stark sent that.
We'll be back after this with Clinton Portis, more All Canes Radio, live from Shake Shack.
We don't care about nobody except is you. We don't.
You're listening to All Canes Radio.
You're a Canes fan, and you want the best gear. Well, you know there's only one place to go, and that's All Canes. All Canes, just a stone's throw from the U on Ponce, has been outfitting Canes fans for over a half a century. Want the latest and best Canes t-shirts? All Canes has them. Want the official coach's polo and sideline gear? All Canes has it. They've got dozens of hats, the latest Nike gear, customized jerseys, shirts, shorts, sexy tops for the girls, and the cutest kids gear you've ever seen. Get the whole family dressed for victory at All Canes. All Canes is located at 5831 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in the Gables. You can call them at 305-661-9011 or 800-226-4247. Look them up online at allcanes.com or like them on Facebook. All Canes, the only place I go to get my Canes gear. It's the only place you should go to, All Canes. Tell them the Beast sent you by.
Hey parents, finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, a fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org.
A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Adopt Us Kids and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Now, back to All Kings Radio. Tweet us at All Kings Radio and interact with us on Facebook. Now, here's your host, Brian the Beast, London.
Back here on All Canes Radio, Shake Shack, 1450 South Dixie Highway in the Gables. The best burgers in town, no doubt about it. The best dogs, the best shakes. Custard is great. Everything is good here at Shake Shack. Eric, the manager, Joanna, Amanda, the entire Shake Shack team is great to us, and we're so proud to be a part of the Shake Shack family, and we're so proud that they're having us here every Thursday night on All Canes Radio. Also have to thank Dwayne Starks and Quanstar Limo for getting the man to my left, Clinton Portis, to the show tonight. Platon from ProCanes.com is here as well. Hey, don't forget on AllCanes.com, you can get all the information on the party in Chicago before the Notre Dame game, and also the Warren Sapp book signing that's going to be happening September 26th at All Canes. I'm sure that will be a fun night as well. You can get all the information on AllCanes.com and also Chris's latest blog on the Miami Hurricanes defensive woes. We're going to talk to Clinton about the latest team, the current team, in a few moments. But first, Clinton, I got to ask you about Donnie Solinger, because we've had Quatrin on recently. We've had Najee on recently. We've talked to almost every guy that's played for Donnie Solinger. They all say the same thing. They've been in the pros. They've been to different teams. And they'll all talk about how Donnie Solinger had the biggest influence on them, and he's probably the best coach they've played for. What is it about that man with that raspy, low voice that says, bro, million times? What is it about him that makes him such a great coach?
I mean, that's the best thing about it, man. When you talk about a stand-up guy and an honest person, a caring person, like it's like having a father figure as a coach, because he's going to shoot you straight. Hands down, he's going to shoot you straight. It's never going to be sugar-coated. You always know where you stand. And after... He's not gonna keep it on the field. When you walk off that field, if it was tough love on the field, when you walk off, he gonna still respect you as a man. He still sit and have a conversation. The conversation can totally change. And he will act like as if he didn't just curse you out on the field and tell you you were sorry or you could. He never talked down to you. It was always encouraging and pushing you. And you don't have that. Every time he spoke, it was like motivation and something to encourage you. Like, it's another guy waiting. It's another guy in the making. So it was always something to push you compared to take the wheel or take the fire from you.
What's something you learned from Don Solinger that you took with you into the league and helped you be one of the most successful backs over the last decade?
To be a stand-up guy. You know, to be a stand-up guy in whatever decision you make, Be willing to live and die by it. You know, I think Coach Solinger instilled that because he never lied. He would never tell you anything but the truth. And I think throughout my career, I got in trouble so many times for telling the truth. And it is never, I mean, it got to end one day. And you always want to end it where you can hold your head up knowing that I didn't tear anybody down or cutthroat. I never was cutthroat, that I would stand up and I was able to deal with my consequences and live and die by what I believed in.
looking at the current Canes, Clinton, you see a guy, a dynamic guy, a guy that reminds a lot of people of you and Duke Johnson. You know, you probably watched the first two games of the year. What do you see in Duke? And what about his game makes him so great? And just, I guess, do you see yourself in him?
I think so many people. I remember my coach from the Redskins, Stump Mitchell, called and said, "Man, have you met this kid, Duke Johnson?" And he said, I just met him, and I thought I was looking at you." He said he walked around with his helmet off, his shoes untied, and you don't think he can play football until they put the ball in his hand. And he said he reminded me so much of you, I had to call and tell you about him. And, you know, I was waiting for the opportunity for signing day to see him because I had never seen him. Philip kept telling me, like, "Bro, you got to go out and see this guy. You got to go see this guy." But I never did. And all of a sudden when signing day came, I checked out his highlights and I was like, "Wow, this kid is good." And, you know, when you got all that hype in today's society, it's so much hype that you don't want to bite into it. And it took the first game to see him play, like, "Wow, this kid got it." And, you know, you can't say he got it because it's only one game. But the way he played that one game, if he continued to just get that same effort, you're not going to have the same results and have 120 yards, 130 yards every game. But always get maximum effort. And then it's going to happen for you. And for him to come here, he didn't know Lamar Miller was leaving at the time, you know, that he decided to come to the U. Mike James is at the U. It felt like him coming here was to put the competition back into University of Miami at running back, because you could have a situation with Lamar Miller, Mike James, and Duke Johnson. So for James and Johnson to even have that, you know, you want to have where you can compete at positions. And I really think that's the only position, if you look at UM, that they competing at. Everywhere else is no depth behind it. So you just got to get depth back onto the roster. And once that competition heat up, it's going to spark other guys because they're going to see the friendly competition between James and Johnson.
How tough has it been for you, a guy that, you know, you left the U in better shape than when you got there? You know what I'm saying? When you got there in 1999, you know, you guys, I think, went 9-3 that year. When you left, you're undefeated, and they go back to a national championship game. How tough has it been since then to keep your eye on the program down here and not see them be as successful as when you left?
Well, the following year wasn't tough at all. I ended up taking a flight out to Tempe to watch them in the national championship game when they played Ohio State. So that wasn't tough at all. But after that, it seemed as if we just went out and got all the top recruits that people spoke of as being the top recruits, as if it wasn't the leg work and the guys who fit.
How many stars were by your name? Do you remember?
I don't. I think I was way down the list. You know,
You don't remember. You weren't the Gatorade.
I wasn't that. You know, the big thing for us was getting selected to the Florida Georgia game, and I got selected to that. So I just didn't play because I had shoulder surgery.
Right.
The week before. So the big thing for us was the Florida Georgia game. Now is all these accolades and all these games that you can play in, and all this hype surrounding players, that you get confused, because the players with all the hype usually not the guys that you want, or the guys that's going, they already reached their peak. You want the guy that's grinding, that's in that middle, that's nasty. Andre Johnson wasn't the top player at his position. Kevin Beard was actually ranked higher than Andre Johnson when we came out. Myself, Philip Buchanan, everybody was in the middle ranges. And look how the careers panned out.
Like a guy like Ed Reed wasn't that highly recruited.
Santana came in on the track scholarship.
Yeah, wearing number 48. No doubt about it. When you know the heartache that we've been through, and I'm sure you've been through, and you know you're in the league, and you're in different cities every week, and I'm sure guys are talking, you know, or in the locker room, guys are talking about their school just beat your school, and that can't be a proud thing as you're going through it.
Did you the most hated school in every locker room in the NFL? I'm talking about this. Everybody, when you get out, when you get off the plane on Saturday and land wherever you landed at, the first team that they're going to announce is the you lost. The you lost today. The you lost to so-and-so. That's it. The first team that they announce, before they announce their team, and the players with the most hatred toward the you, most of them went to Ohio State. Because I know Sean Springs and Joy Galloway stayed on me in everything that the U did. If they had an opportunity to talk about the U, they were.
How many friendly bets were you involved in? And I'm sure at the beginning you were winning them, but then as your career went on, you started losing a little bit of money, huh?
Yeah, I lost a lot of money. So it wasn't a little bit, because I live and die by it. You know, I lost last week betting to Rock Cartwright went to Kansas State. So he hit me on Twitter like, what you want to do? And I'm thinking like, Kansas State against the U? Are you serious? Like, we wouldn't have, that game would have been a blowout for us at our time. But, you know, it was just growing pains, and you got to go with it. I'm always supporting you, and hopefully I be able to. You know, hopefully they return to glory before the money run out.
Clinton, you're back in town. Obviously, you're doing the show, I think, with Channing Crowder Monday nights on QAM. But you're going to get a chance at some point probably to be by campus, talk to Al Golden, talk to the staff, and maybe see some of these players. What's a message you'd like to get across to these guys now that are just trying to work their way back, trying to maybe live up to the expectations that are there for this team?
I think that's it. Like, stop trying to live up to the expectations or be the guys that was in front of you. Come in and make your own lane, create your own name, and live off of that. You don't have to live up to what we did in 2001, 2002. That's over and done with. Like, live up. When we came in, I don't think players talked about all the championship teams before us. We didn't feel as if at that time we were the best college team of all time the way we do now, because there was so much done before us. Who on our team felt like they were going to be better than Michael Irvin? Nobody. Who felt like they was going to be better than Ray Lewis and Warren Sapp? Nobody. But you got somebody who can compete in every category. Michael Irvin, Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne, Ray Lewis. You got, it's tough shoes to fill, but you got Vilma, you got DJ Williams, you got Beeson. You got a bunch of guys who can end up being 16 to 17 years in the league. When you look at Warren Sapp, you got Vince Wilfer. When you look at, any position that you can look at, you can name other guys who came through my era. You know, you think of Ed Reed and Sean Taylor, and you go back to the U days, and it's Blaze.
Right.
So we just had a bunch of guys who went out and created their own name, and I think that's what they should do. The guys here got to look to create their own history and not worry about the history that happened before them.
At that time, though, Clinton, you know, now we're looking back and we realize how great you all were in 2001, because guys are still playing in the NFL. At that time, though, did you guys realize the amount of talent you had and how great that team really was, arguably one of the greatest in all of college football?
At that time, we didn't, because we didn't know who the best player on the team was. That's crazy. You didn't. At that time, you would have thought Ken Dorsey was the best player on our team, hands down. And it was so many guys with so much talent and capable of so many things. You're thinking, you had Shockey, Winslow, and at the same time, you had DJ Williams, who was playing fullback and later went back to linebacker. So you had so many guys with so much talent. Who knew how it was going to turn out?
All right, let's do a fantasy draft. Who are you picking first off that team?
Fantasy draft, I'm going to take Reggie Wayne right now. Reggie Wayne and Andre. Matter of fact, I'm going to take Andre Johnson first.
Over Reggie Wayne.
Yeah,
no one remembers that Andre redshirted.
Yeah. I do.
But think about how crazy that is. A guy that is going to end up being a Hall of Fame wide receiver didn't get on the field the first year as a college player.
And Kellen Winslow was playing special teams.
Yeah, well, Kellen, Sean, and Antrell were all playing special teams.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable. Then what's next for you? What's your goals? What do you want to do?
Life, man. You know, everything that I set goals for, I accomplish on the field. So now you're talking about building a brand off the field and being as successful off the field as I was on the field. That's my goal. Like, that's what I look forward to doing. And I'm going to do it. And I feel so good about it, about what's in store for me.
Are you going to give us a hint? Is it a fashion line? How can
I want
a line of wigs or something? Or
man, I want to be involved in fashion. I actually want to get ready to launch a luxury car rental company that's going to be great. It's called Only Opulent. It's going to launch in November, so look out for that. High-end cars, upscale, classy. Treat everybody how you're supposed to be treated. And I mean, from fashion to television or radio, I just think it's so many lanes to participate in and form. And I just want to be successful, man. Like, I feel like everything that I've done is over with. Like, I can't live off of my past. Even though I can live off of my past, I can't just sit and say football was the only thing I've done. Like, I want to build a brand that lasts forever.
But a lot of your fellow former teammates have gone into coaching. Najee, Vernon Carey, Ethnic Sands, you know, Kevin Beard, a lot of guys. That's not
Najee,
something.
Najee didn't even watch film when we was in. He used to go to sleep when it was time to watch film.
So I don't know. The truth comes out.
I don't know what direction his team had then. But for Ethnic and Beard, you know, I could see them coaching. Ethnic played receiver, played quarterback, and Beard was one of those guys who had to know everything on the field. So just for myself, that's too much time. That's like being a player again twice, because the coaches come in at 5 in the morning and leave at 10 or 11 at night. I don't want to occupy that much of my time.
Yeah, there's a big part of me that believes that Clinton Portis doesn't want to be pigeonholed into football anymore.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I feel like it's so much life ahead. I feel like my football chapter is closed. Even with being on radio, I want to talk sports, not just football, because I'm a basketball fan, I'm a golf fan, baseball, you know. I like sports, period. So I don't want to forever be linked to football and let that be the legacy that people remember. It's a great legacy, but I don't want that to be all you think when you hear Clinton Portis.
Well, Clinton Portis, nice enough to be generous with his time tonight here at Shake Shack. We'd like to thank you for stopping by, Clinton, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you somewhere down the road. I don't think you're going to disappear
on the sideline at the U game.
Well, we'll have to talk to Chris Freed about getting those former players back on the sideline. Clinton Portis, everyone, here at Shake Shack. Thanks a lot for stopping by, man. Look forward to seeing you down the road. Clinton Portis here on All Canes Radio. Speaking of Chris Freed, he's in the house, the assistant athletic director for marketing and communications, will join us, and we'll talk about everything you need to know for game day, logistics, parking, tickets, tailgating, all of that stuff. We will talk about it with Chris Freed coming up. We'll also get an update on that soccer game that's going on across the street as well. You're listening to All Canes Radio. We're live from Shake Shack right here, 1450 South Dixie Highway. And a big thanks to Dwayne Starks, Quan Star Limo, for getting Clinton here tonight and getting him home as well. Back after this on All Canes Radio.
We don't care about nobody except this you. We don't.
You're listening to All Canes Radio.
You've been hearing.